Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast. Today I am in the country of Malta with
Rosalind Pajuso.
And we are going to be just talking about this animal rescue here and the animal rescue issues that are going on in this country. Now, if you're not familiar with Malta, it's an island in the Mediterranean. And yeah, so just let's go ahead and get into it. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for coming here and showing the issues that we have with abandonment and maybe even abuse that's going on.
And so can you just give us a brief overview of the different issues that are going on here in your country? Because it's every country and every location is kind of battling its own issues. So what are you seeing here from an animal rescue standpoint in Malta?
Okay, so first of all, I have been doing this since I was 20, so it's now 18 years. And I have been seeing 18 years of animal abandonment nonstop. I think that is the biggest issue that we are seeing. So many dogs that are pets today are going to be ending up in the streets tomorrow. And not just dogs, even cats, even pet rabbits, even pet pigs. So many animals get abandoned, and that is so unfair. And they get abandoned for no reason. Like, I have a new girlfriend. I all of a sudden developed an allergy. I'm moving. Someone in my family got sick. All these reasons, which are really not reasons at all. And yes, the animals get dumped. They either get dumped in the streets, or else they get dumped directly in our sanctuary, or else there's another issue of the confiscation by the animal welfare, the authority for animals in Malta, where the dogs are being kept so badly that they just go and take them. They confiscate them, and then they come here. And that is where we mostly see the biggest amount of abuse on animals.
Are there other animal rescue organizations here, or are you guys the only one? And how do you actually get the animals? Do people bring them to you, or do you guys go out and get them?
No, we do not have volunteers to go out and get them. So what we do is, as a rescue organization, there is the animal welfare in Malta. It is funded by the government. They are the ones that are picking up dogs from the streets, and then they either keep a few themselves or bring them to us. And they are as well the ones that will confiscate the dogs that are being abused. But of course, we take a big chunk of these dogs and the trans in hundreds every year.
And you mentioned, how many animals do you have at one time here? And on top of that, what would you say is the average length you have a dog before it gets adopted?
So we have around 80 dogs. We try to keep the population at around 80 dogs. First of all, we do not have more volunteers for more than 80 dogs. We do not have as well the space and the funds for more dogs than 80. That is our maximum. Sometimes we have more, sometimes we have a little bit less, but I try not to keep it more. And because then they start getting pressure, and the dogs themselves. The population is around 80. And then regarding homing, it would depend. If they are puppies or if they are small size dogs, they get adopted at once. Sometimes we even have a waiting list for small size dogs. But then on the other hand, if the dogs are large and if they are even older, then the chances for the adoption will start getting less and less. And sometimes an old, large dog can even stay up to 1 year in our sanctuary. But then on the other hand, a tiny chihuahua can get adopted in like 7 days, 10 days.
And who are the people that are adopting the dogs here? Is it locals? Are there people coming from outside of Malta? Like, how does that work?
We home dogs to every person who we think is decent and will not let the animal down for the second time or the third time in his life. And they are everyone. They are either locals, they are either foreigners living in Malta. And we are seeing as well something which is quite new, like tourists coming here, finding a dog or a cat in the streets. And of course, they cannot take it directly with them, so they will need someone to keep it for them till we make the papers and flight arrangement, and then they will take it to their country. And yesterday we managed to do that for an American tourist. She came in around 2 months ago, and she found this cat that she couldn't leave behind. We kept the cat in our house because we can't bring the cat here, rabies chip, and yesterday we went with her.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's so amazing. And What do you think, if you could pick one thing to help with the animal rescue situation in Malta, or even more, maybe with your specific animal rescue organization, if you could pick one thing that you could have or to change the situation, like, what would you say that would be?
So one thing that we really need is a change in law, and it needs to be swift. We shouldn't be waiting for months and years for laws to be changed. Like, one law that took us months and years to get changed was the bestiality law. Now, finally, after lobbying for so long, it is no longer legal in Malta to grab an animal, a dog, a donkey, any kind of animal, and rape him. Before, it was legal. Now it's thankfully illegal. But why did it take us so long to change one simple law? Another law that got changed was the chaining of the dogs. It is illegal to chain a dog against a wall, against a tank, and leave him there rotting all his life. But that took years and years of lobbying. We don't need to lobby for laws to be changed. If there is cruelty, laws need to be changed. The politicians are not the ones that are being abused and hurt, but they are the only ones that can change the laws. And it shouldn't take us, the animal activists, years and months of begging and lobbying and speaking on TV and podcasts like yours to change the law. So yes, there is lots of laws that need to be changed. One of the laws that needs to be changed is regarding the confiscation. If animal welfare came into your home and took your dogs away because you were abusing them and being cruel to them, you need a ban at that moment. We shouldn't be waiting for the courts that will probably take years and years. Not probably, it will take years and years. And during this time, you can just grab new dogs and abuse them all over again because everything is taking so much time. There needs to be as well some kind of laws on breeding laws. It cannot be that everyone can consider himself a breeder. There are people in Malta who are breeding not even pure breed dogs, just dogs that they find cute, and then they go selling them on different internet sites for 30 euros or 20 euros sometimes. So no, there needs to be breeding laws. Not everyone can be a breeding. And I can go on and go on like this, but change is so slow, especially when it comes to animals. And this lethargy from the politicians really makes you angry.
So I'm not familiar with the legal system in Malta. I know that in the States there's similar issues, and I've actually spoken with a senator of California. And my question is do you think, and I can't speak, I don't know Malta, but do you think that these politicians actually really don't care? Is that just like, are there other things that they're concerned about? Like, what's your take on that?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think that, yes, they don't really care. I don't think that they ever really visited.
Because there's not money in it. Is that what you like?
There is not much money in it. Yeah. But as well, I'm sure that they don't. We say, Maltese, that they don't want to step on maybe other people's toes. Maybe, yes. Maybe they don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't know.
And by you mean like ruffling feathers, you mean that there are people that they don't really want to offend,
maybe,
that are whatever, right, like chaining up their dog or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly. But yes, I mean, but not always, like the chaining of the dogs. What was good for the animal in that? The politician is not the one who's being chained all his life in this heat, in the sun. Why don't you chain it? You are the only person who have the power to chain it.
No, that's a good point. And I wanted to ask you too, like, how big are you guys? Like, how many people are working here on a daily basis? And I was telling you before, it's not only about the animals, but it's the people too, because a lot of these organizations are ran on volunteers. Like,
yes,
it's like, that's like the blood, like that's the blood of these organizations. So, I mean, can you talk about the structure and like how many people you guys have?
Yes, yes. So we do have a couple employed here. We are too big to be running only on volunteers. But our workforce is mostly volunteers, and the work is endless. We need to clean the sanctuary every single day. We neuter dogs, we take them to the vet, we home dogs, we speak to the people, we try to educate, we make interviews, we run our Facebook page. We are a little bit of everything. And yes, it is a lot, because it is not something that just takes over your life, but it takes even the life of the rest of your family, because you can never stop thinking about them, you know, how will I bring in that dog? How can I make sure that that dog lives after he was abused in that way by his ex-family? It's not easy at all.
And I love to ask this question too. When it comes to, you know, dogs, do you guys take in dogs with behavior problems? How do you determine that? If you do, what's your process there? Because, I mean, like you just mentioned, some of these dogs are abused, and it's not their fault that they want to bite at you. But, and you know, and people, if you're listening or you watch this on YouTube, you can see the footage of the dogs that I was just in there with. And they were all, I mean, they all were really nice. Like there was one dog that was like, he seemed pretty territorial, but I'm sure he's a nice guy. So what do you, like, what's your take? Like, do you, are all of the dogs just really nice?
Okay, so most of the dogs, I mean, all of the dogs, they are nice animals, and it is humans that can sometimes ruin them.
Yep.
But yes, we do find dogs that are not easy to home. Now I will show them to you later. We have one dog here, Ruby. So he came in from a really, really bad family. I don't think that we are ever going to manage to home him, because he is completely unreliable. Like, you could be loving him. He improved so much from when he entered 1 year ago. But unfortunately, a year later, he's still unreliable. Like, last time a volunteer was cleaning next to him, for nothing, he went to try to bite her. There is another Amstaff in the back. She is lovely with humans, but if she sees another dog, doesn't just kill him, she will, I think, tear him into pieces. She was trained to fight. So yes, for some dogs, homing them sometimes seem a little bit impossible. But for the majority of them, they are beautiful. And those cases that I mentioned, in fact, they can't stay with the other dogs. And even not all volunteers can go with them, but the ones that are used to this. Yeah, some dogs sometimes are unfortunately a little bit ruined. There is hope for most of them, but it's not easy, and it's not even easy for us as volunteers to home them, because what if I one day trust Ruby enough and I will home him, but then he will open the face of someone? You know, it is a big responsibility for you as a volunteer to home these dogs. But we try to give them every chance possible, and sometimes we have even trainers that come here for free, but we don't always manage, no. And if we don't manage, they stay here as residents. But then on the other hand, I cannot keep on bringing dogs with behavior issues, and I can only bring in dogs that I can home, or else the sanctuary will just become a sanctuary for behavior issues, and that is something which we cannot have.
And that's kind of what I was thinking too, is that, like you said, if, you know, those dogs that aren't getting homes, they take resources. And I know that in the States, there are a couple of organizations that are purchasing lots of land, and they're basically housing these dogs that just unfortunately will probably never ever be able to find homes. And it's, and they're just making this an animal, what do you call it, an animal sanctuary. And it's just, you know, that's their forever home.
Yes.
Do you ever foresee Malta or even other organizations across Europe ever partnering with animal sanctuaries? Maybe not in the States, but I'm sure there are probably some in Europe too, elsewhere with maybe a little bit more land. Do you ever think that's something that down the line or no?
If we are ever lucky to find one such organization, we would love to partner with them, of course. But up to now, we have never found one organization that can take our dogs. It's not easy to find an organization like that, because usually they have their own dogs already. But yes, we would love. We are open to all suggestions.
Not to mention the resources to get the dogs from to get the dogs or cats or whatever from, you know, the other country that they're in. It takes resources for that, but it's, I just think that's really interesting, and I think what you guys are doing is awesome. And I'm curious, where can we all find you and follow along and just, you know, see some of the stories that you guys have?
Yes, so we keep our Facebook page very active. It's called Association for Abandoned Animals. Then we have our website. It is www.aaamalta.com. And those are our two main places. And the Facebook page is always updating, so you will see new stories every single day.
That's amazing. I want to thank you so much for letting me come here and just see everything. And once again, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for shedding some light on the plight of animals in Malta.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.